The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And as you know, today's pillar of Greek week is academics. Now, I know many of us may be thinking, I come to chapel to get a respite, a break from academics. Why are we going to be talking about academics? But I believe if we all engage this morning, there are some truths from God's Word that will be applicable and can be a benefit to us in thinking about academics specifically, and then some principles that will even transcend to helping our lives in general. So the title of our chapel message today is Academic Excellence, Living with Eternal Purpose. I was thinking through this topic, and I was thinking about academics in my own life in general, and I feel like I have been in academics in some form my entire life. Both of my parents were Christian school teachers, and so I pretty much came out of the womb learning flashcards and multiplication tables and all sorts of things like that. I'm still in education. I'm working on a postgraduate degree. And let me say something for the education majors in here. If you don't like studying or learning, you may need to change your major, because when you become a teacher, academics doesn't end. You're going to continue to study. You're going to continue to learn. And then you get this new beast called grading. And that's something else you have to consider. But if the Lord has called you to it, you will enjoy it and you'll have a wonderful time. I love being a teacher. I love working with some of you. In fact, where are my students at? Where are y'all at? All right. It's good to see you all. And I'm really thankful to be able to work here at PCC and work with these students. So we are in Luke chapter 14. So Luke chapter 14, we're going to look at verse 27 through 33. So verse 27 through 33. If you are there, say Greek. Awesome. All right. So the first step in achieving academic excellence, I would say, is establishing a foundation. Establishing a foundation. Laying the groundwork for academic excellence. So Luke 14, verse number 27, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. And he makes a very radical call here in Luke 14, verse number 27. He says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." Verse 33, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Well, the immediate and obvious context of this passage is that we ought to commit fully to following the Lord. And we can't be a half-hearted disciple of Christ. Christ said you have to forsake all to follow him. He should be our number one. He should be our priority. And while, of course, that is the obvious and immediate context of this passage, I believe there's a principle here that applies to academics as well. And that would be we need to prepare for what is ahead. Look back to verse 28. So there's this man, and let's say he does not count the cost to building this tower. So he's out there and he's maybe laying down one piece of wood, another piece of wood, and he's laying the foundation. He's building this tower. He's got his hammer out. Perhaps he hired some men to help him with this process. And he realizes halfway through, oh, I actually don't have the building resources to finish this tower. Sorry, guys. I also don't have enough money to pay you. And now we have a half-finished tower. Well, what good is a half-finished tower, right? And that's why Jesus said they're going to begin to mock him, saying this man began to build and was not able to finish. So preparation is key to success. If you're going to build a tower, you better count the cost to ensure that you have what you need to finish the task. And preparation is key for our academics. As we just heard from one of the chaplains, we need to prepare, we need to be ready, we need to study, we need to take the time to think about not only our short-term goals, what would our short-term goals be? Things like, what can I study for today? What is my priority today? Do I have a quiz today? What do I have tomorrow? Maybe you have a test tomorrow. If you're in SC 270, you do have a test tomorrow at 1 p.m. So you better be studying, okay? So prioritize your time. Think of your short-term goals. Also be thinking about your long-term goals, counting the cost, planning, preparing. Think of what the tower is in your life that God is wanting you to build towards. What are you pursuing, and what are you doing now to prepare for that goal? So be thinking about, you know, what are the things that I'm developing now? What are the skills that I'm acquiring now that are going to help me in the long run? We should take those things seriously. Proverbs 9:9 says this. It says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. So a wise person is going to do their best, and they're going to do their best to learn in each of their classes. Even if it's a non-major specific class, they're going to take that seriously because they're going to see the knowledge that I gain in these classes can be knowledge that I may not know in the future how I will use it, but it can be something that I can use later in my life. And I may not know exactly how, but a wise man is going to be doing his best to gain knowledge. Proverbs 18:5, or 18:15, another great verse on academics. It says, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A wise man is going to do his best to learn in any class that he's in. Perhaps you've heard it said, and I believe it rings true, failing to plan is planning to fail. And so today sets up tomorrow. You know, when I was a student, I was not sure exactly all the details of what God would have for me in my life. I knew I liked science. I knew I liked teaching. Did I know I was going to be a teacher at PCC? I did not. Did I know that I was going to be speaking in chapel today? I absolutely, definitely did not. But I used the tools that God gave me, and I did my best to study and be a good student. And when you venture out in faith and you follow the calling of God in your life, you will see He abundantly blesses, and I am so grateful for all the opportunities that God has given to me in response to just taking a step of faith. I started pursuing another degree in apologetics, and, you know, a lot of people were like, you know, I had some people saying, you know, you're in the science department. Why are you going after a degree in apologetics? You're a science teacher. What are you doing studying in divinity school? But I had a passion the Lord had given me, and as a result of that passion, God opened doors. I had no idea if I'd be able to use that degree in any capacity. I'm now able to teach one of the senior Bible study groups. Love working with the seniors and going through a series on apologetics, learning about how we can defend our faith. It was a tremendous help to me growing up. And I hope I can be a blessing to others as I teach some of those things that I learned. I was also able to develop a brand new class here in the science department. I did not know, again, if I would be able to use that degree in any capacity, but the Lord blessed, and I'm thankful for the doors that He opened in response to just building my foundation, building a couple things. I want to look at Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 10. It will come up on the screen. So Zechariah 4:10, it says this, who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout or through the whole earth. So the context of this passage, we have to kind of understand, we're just thrown into the middle of this. The prophet Zechariah is encouraging Zerubbabel, who is the governor of Judah. He's encouraging him to build the temple, to rebuild the temple. This is the second temple. And he's encouraging Zerubbabel, do not despise the day of small things. Basically what he's saying is don't disregard or belittle the small beginnings of your efforts. Don't underestimate the value of small beginnings or small achievements. And by that encouragement, Zerubbabel, even though it was a big task in front of him to rebuild the entire temple, he started laying his foundation. He started building the foundation. And let me tell you something, that effort was not in vain. The temple was completed around 500 BC. 500 years later, if you think, did that temple really have any significance? 500 years later, the incarnate Son of God, Jesus Christ, would visit and teach in that very temple. And if Zerubbabel had given up, if Zerubbabel had thought, this day is not very meaningful, we wouldn't have had Christ visiting that temple. Our second point this morning would be embracing God's call with diligence. Embracing his call. So I've laid the foundation. Now I need to embrace the call that God has for me, even today. Proverbs 21:5 says this, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty only to want." There's a payoff for diligence. Now you may be thinking, does God really care though about my academics? Like I understand, maybe it seems, Mr. Gardner, you are over-spiritualizing this. Does God really care about our academics? I would submit to you, God cares about how you drink water. Maybe you'd be like, what? That sounds a little weird, right? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." And so if I can drink a cup of water to God's glory, I certainly believe we can do our best in academics, and that's honoring to God. So how can I drink a cup of water to God's glory? If I drink that cup of water, and I'm savoring, and I'm thankful, and I have a grateful heart towards God for the water that I have, I can do that to the glory of God. So again, even the small things, even that class that, again, may not be your major specific class, God wants us to do our best. Now, does God expect us to all get A's on everything? Maybe not, right? Probably not for all of us. But you know what is required? That we do our very best. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says this, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest." And so whatever our hand finds to do, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. And we should do our very best in what God has called us to. The second half of that verse, there's no work, no device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave. What's that talking about? We only get one chance. We only get one chance to make a difference in this life and on this earth. And let me tell you, sometimes we're going to get tired. In fact, the Bible predicts that. Look at Ecclesiastes 12:12. It says, "And further by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh." I think that could be a good key verse for students, right? Much study is a weariness of the flesh. God knows we're going to get tired. Has anyone not been tired this week? Just by a show of hands, has anyone not been tired? Okay, I can't see a hand. I'm not seeing any hands. Wow, I thought there might be one or two. Okay, so we're going to get tired. God understands that. God doesn't ask for perfection, but he does ask us to be diligent. There are no perfect students. There are no perfect teachers. Mr. Cooper Stack comes close. But there are no perfect teachers. I'm certainly not a perfect teacher. But God has called us to do our best. And then, after we establish a good foundation, after we embrace God's call in our lives to be diligent, finally, we need to endeavor to live for eternity and align our academic pursuits with an eternal perspective. Do you know that you could pass all your classes, graduate, become top of the line in your future occupation? You could gain wealth, status, and still ultimately fail at life. Because if we succeed merely by the standard of earth and not by the standard of heaven, we have wasted our lives. Jesus reminded us in Matthew 6, we should seek first the kingdom of God and make that our focus. And God promises to reward us and help us along the way. And if we gain God's rewards, those are things that are not going to perish with time. Hebrews 11:6 says this, very encouraging. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." If you seek the Lord, if you focus, make him your focus, you're going to receive eternal rewards, and you'll have God's blessings in your life. Psalm 90:12 says this. It says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Teach us to number our days. Life is short. Life is short. Loved ones may pass away in our lives. Friends may pass away. And what this verse encourages us to acknowledge is that our lives are very short. And so the importance of living for what truly matters is maximized. If it doesn't outlast the grave, it's not worth living for. If we're not advancing his kingdom, what are we doing? If the trajectory of our lives is not towards that aim, then I would submit, are wasting our time. If we're living for sports, that's vanity, as the author of Ecclesiastes would say. If we're living for theater, that in and of itself, just living for that is vanity. If we are living for status and trying to gain followers on social media, that is an empty pursuit. There's nothing inherently wrong with having hobbies, but if those things are the sole focus of our time and energy, we'll have nothing to show for our lives at the end of time. Because if it doesn't outlast the grave, then it's not worth living for. So how can our studies then contribute to eternity? How can our studies contribute to eternity? Because the knowledge and skills that we develop through our studies can be used, and this is the goal of Christian education, to better our homes, to better our churches, our community, our world. We need to take the tools and skills that we've acquired here to faithfully serve the Lord in whatever he's called us to, whatever occupation. If you're going to be a lawyer, be the best lawyer you can be. If you're going to be an engineer, be the best engineer you can be. Christians ought to be the best at everything, at what we do, at what we strive for, not because we're ultimately super talented, but because we're diligent and we have the ultimate motivation, which is living for the Lord. And so we should be the best, do our best in everything that we have been called to. Psalm 84:11 says this. It says, "For the Lord God is a sun. He's a beacon of light. He's a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." This is an encouraging verse. It reminds us that if I'm walking uprightly, I'm doing what's right, God's not going to withhold anything good from me. Wow. What a promise. But it is a conditional promise. If we're not walking uprightly, how can we expect God's fullest blessing in our lives? The Bible says in James, we can ask and we'll receive not because we ask amiss. The Bible says in 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. If we're not walking uprightly, we can't expect God's fullest blessing in our lives. 1 Peter 3 says our prayers can be hindered. So if I want God's blessing in my life, I need to walk uprightly. So what if I'm walking uprightly and there's something good I know God has for me and I don't have it yet? What's the verse say? The verse says, keep walking. Keep walking. We're not to be stagnant. We need to keep walking. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does meditate day and night. You want to be a blessed man? You want to be a blessed woman this morning? Delight in the word of God. The Bible says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. When I mention the name D.L. Moody, you've probably heard the name before. He became a legendary evangelist. But if you looked at his beginnings, you would not see that coming. He was born the sixth of nine children. His father was an alcoholic. He grew up in poverty. He didn't have many things going for him from a worldly perspective. But he's a man who got a hold of God. And he gave his life to God. One day he was listening to an evangelist, and the evangelist said, "The world has yet to see what God can do through a man who is fully yielded to him." And that so moved D.L. Moody. The world has yet to see what God can do through a man who is fully and totally yielded to him. And after hearing that, D.L. Moody, after pondering, it pierced his heart. And he said, "Man, that is so sad. There's so many Christians that aren't living all out for God. They're not yielding themselves. They're not surrendering fully to God." He said, "By God's grace, I'm going to be that man. I'm going to be that man. I'm going to live fully for God. I'm going to yield my life to Christ." When you study his life, it's incredible. Every day he made it a determination to meet with someone every day and share the gospel. Every day he said, "I will share the gospel with someone." He ended up preaching to over 100 million people in his lifetime. In a day and age where social media did not exist, TV did not exist, millions of lives were irrevocably changed for eternity as a result of one man's surrender. And D.L. Moody, I would submit to you, was not made of any special mud. He merely yielded his life in consecration to God. So let's give God our best. Let's build good habits now that can help us to flourish the rest of our lives. And then, like the psalmist, we can say, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.